I would like to share with you today some thoughts about intention and the variability in our intention to do something. We might assume that that variability in intention comes from maybe weak motivation, and it could. You might have an impulse that you think would be good for your life, or good for you, good for the earth. And then it passes through the screen of your consciousness, and then it leaves. And so then you don't do what you think you wanted to do at that time. It becomes weaker. So it might be that it needed to get stronger, and that there's a variability in your own connection with what you wanted to do. Or, and I'd like you to consider this, it might be that there are oppositional energies that you are vulnerable to, from within or from without, that create a lessened sense of the importance or reality of what you set out to do. What are oppositional energies? They're currents of motivation that could come from inside you or outside you that have the effect of influencing how your will operates in regard to manifesting. So you might, in a moment, as I said, decide to do something that feels important, and then it could go from feeling less important to feeling unimportant to feeling not real at all in terms of, you know, why did I think that? Why did I have that idea? So I want to talk with you this morning about what to do in that kind of circumstance about variable intention. And it's not a simple thing because it involves going inside and developing a deeper sense of awareness of what is the foundational reality that you're carrying. Some of you have heard me speak about this before, foundational reality. What is foundational reality? Well, in order to talk about that, I have to make a distinction between feeling something and knowing something. This is a very important distinction in a spiritual life, feeling something and knowing something. We can know something with our mind that's a spiritual principle, something that we hold to be true, that we've heard or been taught or learned in the course of study or experience. And yet, when we try to have the experience of it, the experience doesn't come to us easily. The mental concept is there, but the experience isn't happening. So that's the difference between knowing and feeling. Knowing operates on the level of what the mind can perceive, and feeling operates on the level of what the body and emotions can experience. Sometimes, what happens with oppositional energies because of that gap is that the knowing part of ourselves that says, I know such and such to be true, because it's not supported by the actual experience emotionally, gets undermined or weakened or let go of. All of those, undermined, weakened, and let go of. And so we end up feeling a kind of self-invalidation about what we know to be true. It's not, we don't start out wanting to be invalidated. It's not a conscious thought. It's a sliding into the unreality of believing that what we know to be true is still true, even if we can't feel it. And that's the principle I want to convey this morning. That in this time, when there are challenging energies to deal with inside and outside, that one of the effects of this motivational influence of an oppositional energy is that instead of being able to hold on to what you know to be true, there's an inclination to let go of it because you can't feel it. So, what to do in that kind of situation is determined by how strongly you can hold on to foundational beliefs, even if in the moment you can't feel them. That's a very important question for our time being our historical time. because foundational beliefs on a national and global level are being challenged, in some cases undermined, in some cases corrupted. Foundational beliefs are the truth of our deeper being, the truth of our heart. That's foundational beliefs. It's the closest we can approximate to what our soul's values are, the divine core of who we are, our foundational beliefs. What are the soul's values that we carry as these are transmitted to our heart? That's foundational beliefs. And each of you would probably use different words for what that would mean to you. You know, what is a core belief that you hold? An expression of a core belief is an attitude about life and about people. An attitude about life, you could say, for instance, all beings are souls. That would be an attitude about life. Or you could say that love is the most powerful force in the universe. That's an attitude about life. So on the soul level, you know these things. Whatever your words would be on the soul level, you know what the foundational beliefs are that you're holding. On the emotional level, because of all of these energies and motivational issues, it's easy to get separated from what you know to be true. And in this time that we are in historically, with the planet changing and expanding in light, there's more opposition to us holding on to foundational beliefs. And it's very important that we do so. And so when you find yourself challenging or invalidating something that you know to be true, pause. Pause and ask yourself, here I am, or say to yourself, here I am going down the road of invalidation. Invalidation didn't used to be a spiritual concept in the language that we were used to talking about, but it is today. It is today because there are challenging energies that create a veering away from the truths of the heart. And we only need to look around at the larger public, political, and global level of discourse to know that basic fundamental truths about kindness, love, caring for each other, the importance of creating harmony and an end to separation are being challenged by the opposite attitudes. The attitudes of each one caring for themselves, separation between groups, cultures, and nations, and the understanding or the presumption that if we each take care of ourselves in our own sphere, then somehow everything's going to come out all right. That's an oppositional perspective to what the heart and soul would hold, which is the unity of all in all, the unity of all. So I'm putting that out as a landscape, the public political arena, but I want you to consider this too for yourself. If you are spending your days or any time at all and you're thinking, I can't do this because, whatever the because is, ask yourself whether something in you is invalidating who you are, because that's the place where you need to reverse directions and not go in the direction of self-invalidation. That self-invalidation is being fueled by energies that are not supportive of the heart. They're not supportive of the soul, and they're not supportive of a sacred life. I will give you an example of this because it came to my attention this week as a news item, and some of you may have heard about it from previous weeks because I only heard this week. A scientist in China was successful in cloning two human beings, two girls, after, I presume, years of trying. And the result of the report went worldwide, global, and there was a huge, huge reaction from science around the world in terms of the ethics of doing this, that a line had been crossed. A moral line, an ethical line, and in some perspectives, a scientific line had been crossed because there were some questions about whether adequate care was taken for these two beings. in terms of the way the genetic manipulation is what happened. The cloning took place through genetic engineering of determining what qualities one of these two would have and what qualities the other would have. So I don't know more of the details of the science of this, but I do know that when I heard this, it sounded what often goes up in my consciousness, which is an event that's a marker. The marker is that however many people, and this person is a representative of a position, no longer believe that there is such a thing as sacred process related to birth. The idea being that birth is related to the physical genetic process of conception leading to embryonic formation and fetal formation and so on. But the thinking that goes as a subtext to all of that is that all we need to do is to pay attention to the physical of birth, the physical aspect of birth, and that birth is just a matter of manipulating matter, even if it's at the genetic level, even if it's at the subatomic level. It's just a question of manipulating matter. So I feel a foundational belief that life is sacred got crossed or got erased or got diminished or got, you know, whatever you want to say about it. Because those who are proponents of this scientific extension of genetic engineering would say, this is good. It's good because we can help people avoid disease, or we could help people, in this case, I think it was to make people HIV resistance. This is a conception that deletes the existence of the soul. It simply doesn't exist as a variable. So when I talk about foundational beliefs, I'm giving you this example because that's a foundational belief that was erased, that there is such a thing as a soul and that there is a process of birth that involves some process that's multi-level. Two human beings come together to produce a fertilized egg, and then the rest happens, but that there's more than physical exchange happening, more than physical matter to be manipulated. So that's an example of a foundational belief. Fortunately, there are lots of people around the world who are having difficulty with this, but nevertheless, a line has been crossed. A line has been crossed. So we don't know what's going to happen with that, and some of you may know more than what I'm expressing to you. But I want you to understand that within yourself, you need to hold on to what you are holding to be most true, even more than before, because truth is coming more into question. It's coming more into question politically. It's coming more into question in the environment in which we live. What truth is now becoming a question mark for lots of people. What is truth? And that's because of the milieu that we're living in, where facts are no longer facts, they're opinions. I'm talking on the public level now. Facts aren't facts. What is a fact? Fact is what anybody decides is a fact. That's a milieu that we're living in. So in our personal lives, we need to be aware of this undermining of truth so that we don't participate with it, so that we hold whatever foundational truth we are feeling strongly, no matter what challenges come across our way, that we are steadfast in relation to that. Does it involve courage? Sometimes. Sometimes it does, because people can be influenced by the atmosphere of consensus, you know, what everybody believes to be true. And so courage involves the willingness to be a majority of one, to be able to establish your life based on the truth that you're holding, not on the truth that somebody else is holding about how you should feel. Be a majority of one means that you don't need any more votes cast in your favor. You're the vote. There's only you're the whole deal, the whole vote. You vote for truth, and there doesn't need to be any other vote to support that. That's very greatly needed today. Very greatly needed. It's needed in our world and it's needed for ourselves. while this is going on with the oppositional energies, what's also going on is the emergence within each of us of our deeper self making itself more known. So those things are going on with the tendency or the motivations to counter truth. And meanwhile, the soul or the deeper self or your deeper heart, all of that being connected, is gaining in strength to be able to communicate to your own conscious mind what you really believe. Your own soul, and that's a vibrational shift that's happening because the energy of your body is now becoming more affected by the energy of the Earth's body, which is now infused with greater amount of spiritual light. So as a result of the change in the vibration of physical matter, including your own body, it means that you're more capable, if you choose to, of feeling what is your soul purpose, what are you doing here, what should you be doing at any moment in time. Inner guidance can be more accessible if you reach for it. And a sense of truth about who you are, because that's the nature of the physical support that's being given to us from the transformation of the earth that we're here to be a witness to and to take part in, the transformation of the earth. So, although there are challenges that are very important to pay attention to, the great beauty of this is that we live at a time when all of us are more capable of becoming who we are, much more capable if we choose it, and if we choose to be a majority of one, and if we choose to support the idea that we came here as a divine calling, that our soul represents what we're really here to do. Our soul represents it, not a passing fantasy, but a deeper sense that we're here to learn and we're here to contribute to the life of the earth. So that's that inner sense of mission, purpose, truth is more supported now just that by having a body. Just by having a body. And that's the story of our willingness to come and be here on the planet at this time. We came to face the challenges of these energetic oppositional forces and also to help the soul within each of us and with each other to come forth so that life can be lived in a different way. We are here, each of us individually, to learn for ourselves and to serve the earth, both. There isn't anybody who's here for some other reason. Everybody who's here is here for that reason. Even if their life doesn't look like it, they're here. They started out here for that reason. So let us bless this time and experience the gratitude and the wonder of it, that we have the potential of liberating truth within us. We have the potential of remaining faithful to it. We have the potential of being steadfast if we choose to. And that life itself, the life of our body, the life of the earth, is supporting us in doing this. We bless the purpose that God has brought forth in this time that we live in. And we ask that all beings be supported in this purpose, that each one may experience the freedom to be who they are meant to be. May this be true for ourselves and for all beings. Om Namo Bhagavate.